Jeanne Flavelle's Hot Commodity Podcast Series. Empowering clients with commercial intelligence, supply chain expertise, and risk management solutions.
Good afternoon, everybody. My name is Mike Coughlin, President and CEO of McKinney Flavelle, and today is November 22nd, 2019. And welcome to our Hot Commodity Podcast Series. I'm joined today by Nicole Thomas, Vice President of Information Sales for McKinney Flavelle. Hello, Nicole. Happy Friday.
Hello, Michael.
I'm so excited.
Michael Coughlin. I was talking to somebody to, I guess that was yesterday, about using your full name.
Yes.
And how I use that as a technique to get people's attention because you have this natural response. You've been conditioned
yes.
to respond to your full name.
Yes.
Because you heard your mom call you that way.
That's exactly right. Yeah. Yeah. And especially if you use middle names, right?
Yes.
You go full in. Attention.
Yeah.
You get my attention. I think my wife uses that too. In fact, last night there was a situation where she used the word Michael. And I was like, what?
It's an effective method, a very effective method.
I think we're teaching people about relationships and about how to communicate today.
Yeah. You know, hey,
I think we should just do the whole podcast on that.
Oh, yeah. We can market it as self-help.
Self-help. I love it.
Because everybody loves self-help books and seminars. And
yeah. Well, we'll have to come up with new names, though, too. Like, we have to have something a little more jazzy.
Well, you know, you could call me by my nickname of Nikki. But anyone who works with me knows that Nikki is not necessarily who you're looking for.
No.
I guess the strategy doesn't work for me.
Yeah, no, we won't go through my nicknames because they're pretty funny. But speaking of self-help, I thought we would talk today about edible oil markets. It's something that we haven't talked about for a bit. And I thought you could give some insights on the edible oil markets. So what do you say?
Well, you know, I think that'd be great.
Cool. We'll pretty get us started. Stuff. Let's do it.
Well, you know, let's start with soybeans. Soybean oil specifically.
Okay.
And, you know, unless you've been under a rock, you've seen soybean oil futures have gained a little support over the last few months, particularly from the supply and demand scenario, also from some of the political situation regarding trade. And, you know, NOPA crush was pretty strong in October, record-breaking, actually. And soybean oil production was just above 2 billion pounds. But oil yield was down quite a bit from where it's been hanging out. We saw that number come in at 11.57 pounds per bushel. And my guess is with soybean harvest, the late that crushers are using old crop beans that would have been harvested more than a year before, and depending on storage conditions, could be seeing some degradation in the oil yield accordingly. So in other words, this could improve by, say, I don't know, December into January, once new crop beans are available and being crushed with haste. But because stocks are so substantive, it could take a while for us to work through those old crop beans. So that's something to keep in mind. And then on the demand side, not much has changed in terms of the overall market dynamic.
Okay.
Cumulative soybean oil exports, though still a bit higher than last year, appear to be slowing a bit. We saw the sales last week were down about 80% from the week prior. Biodiesel production has been noticeably lower than last year for the past three reported months. So June, July, and August, I think, is the most recent number we have available. And in general, I guess the theme is biodiesel production is plateauing or has been, as has been the use of soybean oil for its production. And as of now, soy oil use for that category is projected to increase by 6.2% in 2019-20 per the USDA. And if that's going to happen, we need to see some growth in use, which is challenging considering you have some idle biodiesel facilities. But in the arena of politics, there is a group in Congress that has brought up a proposal to extend the dollar per gallon blender's credit through 2021.
Ooh.
Before, I know, right? Very interesting. But the other element of this is interesting as well. Every year following, at least for the next 3 years, they will take it down little by little. So take it down to 75 cents a gallon in 2022, 50 cents per gallon in 2023, and 33 cents per gallon in 2024. And guessing by 2025, We no longer have that biodiesel blending credit. So that's a possibility. And then from a technical perspective, as it relates to the futures, I will say bean oil does appear to be a bit oversold, and that's kind of across the board as far as the contracts are concerned. And from that, in that sense, the path of least resistance may be a little higher. So something to watch. You want to talk about canola?
Let's do it.
Okay, I'll give you something brief.
Holy canola.
That was so clever. That was awesome. Yeah. Canola did experience some of the same trouble that a lot of the other crops planted up north did, with the snow and the rain slowing down harvest. Not nearly as bad as sugar, but pushing that harvest, that percentage back more than we would expect. Now, in terms of the oil, it's also getting some support from benchmark soybean oil being a little stronger. And that's probably most of what's been driving prices higher. When you look at canola oil production, it's actually been a bit higher thus far in 2019 from the year prior. And another point of interest, kind of an aside with all of this, is the ongoing strike of CN workers. So for those who don't know, the Canadian National Railway is the largest in Canada and responsible for not only shipping within Canada, but movement of products out of Canada into the U.S. So depending on how long it takes to get resolved, could have an impact on canola and subsequently canola oil basis. So something to be mindful of.
Okay.
Okay, so while we're on the roll with the letter C, you want to do corn oil?
Let's do it.
Okay, perfect. So I am going to present this from the perspective of what I would think most of our audience is, and that's toll users, so trying to get a handle on what the corn oil portion of the co-product credit will be. Mm-hmm. And fortunately, prices have increased quite a bit from last month and last year. Up by about 2 cents per pound in the last 3 weeks. And depending on your source, because different sources may have slightly different pricing.
Okay.
Up about 3 cents a pound from last year. And so I attribute most of this strength to, again, soybean oil getting support, and that kind of spilling over into the rest of the oils complex. Fundamentally, corn oil exports in September were down 43% from 2018. And it looks like we ended the 2018-19 marketing year down by almost 20% from 2017-18. Now, in terms of stocks, crude corn oil stocks at the end of September were up 4% from 2018, but that was mostly due to less refining. And speaking of those refined oil stocks, they fell by 27% in September from the month prior. So a little quick bit on corn oil. You want to round the corner here with the tropical oils.
Let's do that. It's a good way to end.
Let's imagine we're somewhere tropical.
Oh, God. Yeah.
Let's see.
Like, where would you be? Where would you be?
I choose Aruba.
Aruba?
I choose Aruba.
I'm going to go Hawaii.
I like the Caribbean. Hawaii, West Coast guy.
I know. It's easy.
I do the Hawaii.
I like Spam.
Yeah, still gorgeous. Spam's still good. Hey.
They have a lot of
Spam is delicious.
Yeah, I love Spam.
So on the tropical oils, let's start with palm. And palm oil prices have been rallying for about a little over a month now, last 6 weeks or so. And they've been getting support from two things. First came the support from soybean oil prices.
Okay.
That's kind of lifted values for edible oil prices as a whole. But there's also been some fundamental support specific to palm oil.
Okay.
Most recent news out there, Indonesian production fell by about 100,000 metric tons in October and stocks dropped by 2%. You've got Chinese imports of palm oil have been surging. And a lot of that related to the fact that they're not crushing as much soybean, as many soybeans domestically, and as such not producing as much soybean oil. So they're importing from everywhere. And palm oil has been a recipient of that as well. So that's helped to pressure the stocks. And if you look at like Malaysian stocks, for example, they were around 2.3 million metric tons in October. So coming down a little bit. And at the same time, Malaysian production has been dropping, coming in, these monthly numbers coming in well below the last couple of years. And so we had seen really good production in 18 and even 17, and now that seems to be turning around. So fundamental bullishness exists for palm. And then for PKO and coconut oil, So palm kernel oil production is obviously experiencing the same decline as palm oil. And Malaysian exports in October at around 100,000 metric tons is also supportive to prices. But though it is pressuring stocks, they are still historically high for this time of year, around 435,000 metric tons. And U.S. cumulative imports for 2019, so that would be Jan through September, were down by almost 10% versus 2018. Now, in the case of coconut oil, U.S. stocks of refined oil are approaching 50,000 metric tons, and imports have been down versus last year consistently through 2019. So decent amount of things going on in the tropical oils market and oil as a whole. Yep. And I will say for our clients, you definitely can, a great place to go for additional information, including a bevy of charts, tables. We got weather, satellite maps, some additional commentary, et cetera.
Right.
Check out the Edible Oils monthly publication on IQ. It's usually published within a few days of the release of the NOPA crush numbers, so you get the latest figures there. And then everything going, you know, all the latest and greatest for all those markets that can get you caught up quickly to see what's going to drive prices. So just want to point that out for folks.
Oh, and what a great thing. Like if I had some report I had to do, monthly report, basically, you've done it for me, and I could just basically refer to that, download the charts, and I'm done. My presentation's done. You've just saved me time and money, and you've done the analysis already.
You know, you kind of gave me a flashback of grade school and, you know, taking my arm to cover my Scantron.
Yeah.
So, but, you know, I'm willing to do this for our clients. So, a little different situation.
Oh, thank you. Yeah. And so if you're not a subscriber to our ingredient information platform, the IQ platform, please let us know. Reach out to us. We can get you all set up. And those that are, you know that at this point you're saying, I've got the base information on edible oils, but you know what? I'm going to switch over right now to the IQ platform. I'm going to listen to the premium content podcast that follows this for recommendation, commercial information on edible oils to help me make better decisions. So that's what they're doing.
Yeah.
They're going to do that right now.
No, I hear it.
I swear.
I can hear it and feel it.
Oh, I hear the clicks.
Exactly.
Well, we're going to wrap this one up and happy Thanksgiving to everybody.
Happy Thanksgiving. Podcast.
Happy Thanksgiving, Nicole.
Be thankful. Thanksgiving to you as well,
Michael. What do I always say? I'm going to let you do that this time. What do I always say?
Well, it's so apropos for Thanksgiving, but
it really is.
Really have to live with an attitude of gratitude.
Mm. Every moment, every
wise
day.
Words from Michael Coughlin.
I got to be known for something, right?
You're right.
All right, everybody. We're going to wrap this up. Until next time, take care, everybody.
That concludes this podcast episode. For expanded commentary and more detailed information, log on to McKinney Favelle's IQ Ingredient Intelligence platform and listen to our Market Insights podcast. If you're not a subscriber, visit McKinney-Favelle.com for more information. And as always, follow us on YouTube, LinkedIn, Facebook, and Twitter.